Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Friday the 13th edition of WPR Rebuttal. I'm your host, Senator JPO. Our call number is 929-477-3965. Again, the whole premise of WPR Rebuttal is that we bring you perspectives that UW system-owned WPR might not wish to emphasize. So our title today is The college experience has the opportunity cost more or less, being in a slasher film of sorts. It's a loose metaphor that I conceived actually last autumn, but then I was really busy working, H2A recruitment, shelling corn, and I didn't really get around to writing much about it, but I have the general ideas. And then, as we go on later in the year, I have a few other things I want to do before I actually write a treatise of sorts as to the parallels to make that comparison more concretely. But I just thought, with it being Friday 13th today, I personally don't believe it's significant, in terms of anything. I mean, it doesn't really affect the tides, doesn't affect anyone's actual walk beyond maybe if they're anxious about it, then they might cause themselves to mess up more. But really, Friday 13th has no real personal significance to me. But as a kind of like a promotional gimmick, I decided to be humorous to incorporate this theme into the podcast today. So again, WPR Rebuttal, our number over here is boom, boom, boom. Oh, here we go. I had a scroll screen. As you can tell, we're live. There's absolutely no editing. So if you want to get in some 15 minutes of fame, talk with Senator JPO, we have about 24 minutes left in this segment. And our number is 929-477-3965. I've had quite an exhausting week, and even now I'm tired, but the show must go on. Why am I exhausted? Well, a lot of things. I have my hands in a lot of projects. And, what are those projects? Well, one thing I just finished designing was the entire line of Zazzle products. Now, I call it the No Future Graduation Cap apparel line. And we also have bumper stickers, coffee mugs, and even a square decal that you can trim and you can put on your mortar cap. And so, in other words, if you buy your mortar cap, you know, for graduation, then you can literally go and paste this wall decal, as Zazzle calls it. You trim down the wall decal that has this logo that says No Future, and you can overlay it via adhesive already included on a decal. It's very easy. Just go online to Zazzle.com/CenterJPO and look for the No Future Graduation Cap Mortarboard Topper, is what I call it. And it's this wall decal that you can trim down to dimensions of your graduation cap. And make a not just a fashion statement, but a social statement. But if you want to go a cheap route, then, hey, the movement is more important than the potential revenue, okay? Because obviously I'm not doing any of this really for the profit potential, because it's too early for it to have much much revenue potential, because really I speak to the interests of those who are most marginalized by the college experience and the school work scam, as I call it. And, of course, they aren't going to necessarily be too consumerist. They're probably going to be more of a do-it-yourself ethos. Not to say punk, but, you know, more likely to go and hand-draw some type of logo on their cap with whiteout or something. But I highly encourage you graduating individuals, you newly minted grads, before you walk the stage, you know, if you are really feeling anxious about your future, now realize that, you know, just silently going up to a stage and being another obedient sheep, you know, that's not going to help you get ahead, because if you see in your work history and your difficulty in getting internships that you've been having so much trouble getting anywhere by following the rules, well, continue to follow all walls, okay? Because I don't want you to get in trouble for disorderly conduct. But in terms of freedom of speech, you know, if you're in college, you have greater leeway to paint No Future on your graduation cap, okay? You have more freedom at most universities to do such things to express yourself than you would at high school. If you did it at high school, then they might not only deny you walking the stage, which isn't so bad if you still get your diploma, but they might suspend you, you know, before you can graduate, or some other technicality like that that can really mess up your future. So if you're in high school, you know, don't risk it. Don't paint something on your cap like No Future that might get you punished, okay, by the school administrators. But if you're in college, by golly, you know, people will see that differently. For one thing, you know, administrators are generally loath to try to stop students from such expression, because you see what happens with the protesters. They'll latch on to any old cause of unemployment benefits for student workers, and except for, you know, jobs for recent graduates, but whatever. They'll latch on to these smaller priorities, okay, because a lot of these protesters have a very skewed worldview. They make the trivial appear critical while being, I guess, blissfully ignorant of what really is critical. But I already hammered on the protesters last podcast, and it's just something that the listeners by now are familiar with, so I won't begrudge it too much on this Friday 13th edition of WPR Rebuttal. But going back to No Future Graduation Cap line of Zazzle products, I mean, how appropriate, right, for my comparison of the college experience and the schoolwork scam it often entails to that of a slasher film. Because in both cases, there is really no future, at least not a favorable one for the individual. It's just that the primary difference is that in the case of the college graduate, then the lack of a future is lack of economic prosperity, the lack of American dream. As this my first ever caller in Pittsburgh, he alluded to that. And that's why, according to him, that so many protests are breaking out at, like, town hall forums and speeches by candidates on all sides of the aisle and even beyond the aisle. But and then my second caller from last week, he was during the night came, and we talked about how the violate expectations, right, of the perceived social contract. Because that's the tricky part with social contracts, is that they're rarely completely codified. There are certain elements that are presumed to exist, but they might not. And that's, again, why I'm raising awareness here, is that with just as in a horror film, in a slasher film, there's no guarantee that any one character will survive, right? Well, similarly, in college, there's no guarantee that anyone will allow you to have an internship. There's definitely no guarantee that even if you get some internships in college that anyone will want your carcass, metaphorically speaking, even if it's a well-dressed, well-groomed, and outgoing carcass. There's no guarantee at all they'll want to hire you for any type of professional role when you've graduated. So, again, it truly is a gamble, and I would argue as much of a gamble for your occupational future as it, you know, literally being in a slasher film would be a gamble for your life. So that is the comparison I'm making. And I encourage listeners to say their thoughts on it. Our number at WPR Rebuttal is 929-477-3965. And so how much time we have here? Okay. Well, we have about 18 minutes left in this segment. So, okay, so I talked about how, you know, college can be a gamble, and, you know, we're familiar with how the Federal Reserve has been consistently reporting statistics that show that a higher and higher proportion of university graduates, bachelor's degree holders, baccalaureate graduates, however you want to refer to them, they are increasingly underemployed. And what I mean by that, and I was actually discussing this with my dentist last month, and he asked me, well, hey, what do you mean by underemployed? How do you define it? And really, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, there are two main methods of construing or defining underemployment. And one is involuntarily part-time, where maybe you're working a job that you want but not enough hours to really support yourself. So then you take another job for supplement income if you can. And the R definition that I'm hammering upon, that I focus upon more than anything, is being overqualified for a job one has. And this harkens back to the stereotypical liberal arts grad who has a mick job, as they're known. But really, it's happening to a lot of accountants, too, because, okay, so Spectrum Brands, based out of Middleton, Wisconsin. And I'm reading this from a Wisconsin State Journal article. I actually read it during my lunch break at work, and I made a mental note to get back to it. But the whole point is that Spectrum Brands in Middleton, Wisconsin, is like a big glorified holding company. And they outsourced to India 15 jobs. Now, without reading the article, one might presume that it was information technology, or perhaps it might be some type of, well, I guess if there were any type of assembly job, they outsource it to like China or something. But in India, usually some knowledge economy jobs, as they're called, are usually outsourced to India. In this case, it was not IT, though. It was there were 15 accounting roles that were outsourced from Middleton and given to India. And again, this shows that even jobs for college graduates, okay, even jobs for bachelor's degrees holders are highly vulnerable. And if you look at the universities, they're recruiting a lot of times where they, you know, there are tons of students, okay, tons of teaching assistants who want to become adjuncts, but they can't even get hired as adjuncts. I see on Twitter, there's even a woman who called herself an aspiring adjunct. And of course, I just happened to stumble across her in the sidebar in the profile for Senator JPO. You can go and look them up on twitter.com/ Senator JPO, SENATORJPO. And view his tweets. It can be highly entertaining, but it's always informative and provocative. But at any rate, returning to the idea that it's not just automation, but the active outsourcing of jobs that you would hope employers would want American college graduates, right? But no. So you have this unemployment of college graduates, and at the same time, okay, these employers like Spectrum Brands and Middleton, hell with them, I say, for outsourcing those accountants, because what's next, right? That's just very, it's not patriotic at all. And I know some of the people, like a lot of the youngsters now, they're raised with the idea that, oh, well, now that we're globalists, there's no such thing as true patriotism anymore. I guess that's a thorny subject. I won't get into it too much in this podcast, but the whole point is that, no, different countries and national boundaries that existed for compelling reasons of self-interest, okay, for thousands of years. And in the case of America, that's only been like, just a hair over like 300, not even 300 years, but we're going to, America is still a young country. The United States is still young, but they were a confederation of states, because not just individual states, but a confederation of states, because they have national interests. So if you go and dilute that confederation of states, the United States, and just, we're not the United States anymore, we're just a bunch of states going and doing our, multilateral dealings with the rest of the world. I mean, come on. That's why you have nationalism, not socialist nationalism, but just the whole type of restoration of just to push back against globalism is what I mean. So globalist versus nationalist or protectionist. Take your pick of the term, nationalist or protectionist. Economically, they have similar principles here. Okay, so now with all things considered, with the golly, okay, so the person on the street, I'm sure you won't hear them pushing for globalism, because, I mean, cost of goods is already affordable enough for a lot of people. And while one might try to argue, globalism, you reduce the cost of goods even farther, then you can reduce the welfare. That's not necessarily true, because, again, the input and, I mean, the labor to produce the goods and whatnot is just a portion of it. There's also the transportation, right? And that's labor. So even if you were to outsource, like, production, there's still a cost of transit, or you could try to 3D print it, or whatnot, but the whole problem is that, especially with foodstuffs, say what you will about agricultural subsidies, but at least we know there's a lower chance of spoilage in transport when it's domestically sourced than it is if it were to come from, across any sea, right? Or we have generally better inspection and safety standards for food production, and even at like Lakeside, there's some furfural in the corn, and it was a skin irritant, but I made sure to wear protective equipment, as they call it. The equipment is just mainly gloves and an apron, and I actually made sure that I had goggles too, although a lot of co-workers, I guess, were content to get the furfural in their eyes and were power washing, but not me. I protect mine. Same thing with the hearing. But, earplugs. I'm just going to quickly show some earplugs. My favorite are the ones that are soft foam yellow. The red plastic ones with the, that look like ribs or ridges on the side. I mean, Lakeside has those, but what I would do is I would just go and reuse once. I would put alcohol, rub alcohol over the yellow foam earplugs I used at my other job, okay? And then after they're disinfected, then I would take the same plugs and use them once over at Lakeside. And that's how I prevented my ears from getting sore than they were, because, man, when you work in a noisy environment, then it's easy to get sore. I mean, not sore hearing, because you're protecting your hearing, but just kind of like the sore outer ear. You know, it's kind of tough, because then you get a sore outer ear in order to help protect your inner ear, right? But it's better to do that, because your outer ear can recover. It can depressurize, right? And I haven't heard of ears getting real calloused other than cauliflower ear. So I don't have cauliflower ear by any means. But I'm just saying is that sometimes a little discomfort outside is necessary to protect the hearing inside. So if any of you are working any jobs, like especially if I told you to, if you followed my advice to just skip college, you might have one of those jobs. But that's good, though. That's good, because then you'll be able to springboard to something better more quickly than your peers who are just, you know, sitting around in college and studying. I mean, even if they're not goofing off, even if they're earnestly trying their best to get ahead in life, you know, chances are they won't make it, okay? Again, going back to the analogy of a slasher film, is that, you know, I mean, you see the people who, you know, take it really seriously when they know that there's a killer on the scene, and they try to run away, or maybe some try to confront the problem head on, you know, and take out the slasher. But the whole bottom line is that just as the college students try to take on the job opportunities and the take ownership of their search for work head on, you know, sometimes it just doesn't work. They were another college casualty, as I call them, in terms of career. And unfortunately, it's not just the one's career that dies sometimes, okay? Sometimes the college students get so overwhelmed because they realize the reality only after a fact. And I'm trying to warn people. I'm trying to warn people before you even go off to college what that reality is, okay? It is part of my self-initiated, self-directed, and self-financed, even though I don't really spend anything on it. I have a free plan for Blog Talk Radio here. That's why we have four segments instead of one continuous segment. But my whole point is that I want to warn the vulnerable about how devastating college can be, especially and when you're done with college. It can be even more devastating when you realize the schoolwork scam and how you're never, ever getting back the time and the tuition that you spent on college. No matter what your intention was, no matter how focused you were, and again, the decision to hire is pretty much out of your hands. It's just other people, and if you're finding that other people don't want you without the college degree, well, they probably won't want you with it, because guess what? They would tell you, well, hey, you know, here's what I like about you. And then when you are finished your degree, then come see us again, right? And if they aren't telling you that, if they're just giving you the same spiel they give to others, well, hey, thanks for applying. We are pursuing our candidates, and good luck in your endeavors. Well, don't even bother with that degree, because you have no chance. You're already written off, and it's better to be written off and know about it before you enroll in college than to go enroll in college, earn your degree or degrees, as it might be, okay, let alone an advanced degree, and then find out you're still written off. So, yeah, I have a good analogy. Actually, it's from Roger Ebert doing one of the his review in 1985. Like in the opening, he had backing music from Friday the 13th Part 2. Not the remake, okay? But from Part 2 of what is it? Yeah, it must have been 1981 film Friday the 13th Part 2. We had a part from that score to open this special Friday the 13th edition of WPR Rebuttal. And now I shall play for you, dear listeners, a clip from Roger Ebert when he was reviewing Friday the 13th Part 5, okay? And I'll point out the similarities to this, but let's roll here. I'm going to see here from the dashboard if I can pull this up. Here's my attempt to play a clip.
Because I sat there and I thought, life is precious, life is short, and the idiots who made this film are taking 2 hours of my life and robbing it from me in order to give me less than nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, a movie like this is a crime, because what it does is it robs life from people by requiring them to spend 2 hours having such a terrible experience happen to them. Now, Jean-Luc Godard, the great French director, once said, the way to criticize a movie is to make another movie.
Okay, great. That played flawlessly, as intended. So I'm very happy about that. Kudos to you, Blog Talk Radio, for having such a great dashboard where I can easily access my audio clips. So just a nod to Blog Talk Radio for having an excellent free service here. So, okay, so you heard what Roger Ebert said about the movie, right? You know what? I was thinking about a different clip. That was probably not about Part 5. I think Roger Ebert was really talking, not about Friday the 13th Part 5. That was a different clip that I have in my library. But he was talking in this recent clip, you know, where he was saying the film was a waste of his life. Well, he was talking about Porky's. Yeah, one of the Porky's films. I think it was the Porky's Part 2 or something. So, yeah. He was talking about an apparently lowbrow comedy, and I just recorded a clip off YouTube, and then I cleaned it up in Audacity software. It's like audio processing application that you can get also free. Thank goodness for that. And I guess that's one of the benefits of the free economy is that you can go and launch your own production and create your own content more easily. But, yeah, Roger Ebert was talking about Porky's film. He said it was a waste of 2 hours of his life. Okay, so now if we have a film critic who's that ticked off, okay, that ticked off about I guess wasting his time, right? I mean, he paid the cost of the movie ticket. Back then in the 80s, that wasn't that much, okay, even adjusting for inflation. But the whole point is that all the more should college graduates be raising Cain lawfully, okay? Raising Cain politically is what I mean. College graduates should be raising Cain politically when they feel that the college experience, although earnestly pursued, was a waste of their life, was a waste of the $30,000 to $40,000. And again, you know, consider the outrage of Roger Ebert over such a minor loss of time and money. So all the more so should our college graduates, our disgruntled grads of America, and arguably of the world, unite politically into a political bloc to go and bring accountability to state universities. All right, well, we are running out of time, according to the automated message, so I'll sign off for now and catch you in a few minutes on our next segment. Goodbye.